Some of the symptoms of a hangover are headache, nausea, regret, shame, vomiting.
Oh, the worst is sweating.
Oh.
That's when you know you've gone too far.
Bed spin.
When you're like holding onto the bed like, dear God, like, you know, spins.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. Oh, God. Puking.
Okay. And fatigue. Fatigue is the
worst. I drank so much wine, I'm exhausted. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmar, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Good Lord. Holiday survival guide. So the holidays are upon us.
Oh, and are they ever?
Man, they're coming on strong. Right. We got, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. Boxing Day, New Year's.
All of it.
All that stuff.
Got Krampus Day.
Krampus Day, the whole thing, everything. So how do you survive the holidays? I mean, we always advocate booze.
Yes, booze is our go-to.
Yeah,
and booze. It usually is the only thing.
It's served a lot at these holiday events.
Right,
it's
right.
No accident that people shove a drink in your hand as soon as you get to a holiday gathering.
Because right.
Nobody wants to be there sober.
Right, exactly.
You know?
Yes, but we think that you should have a few more things in your toolbox.
Yeah, yeah. You can't just always count on booze.
Right.
You know,
even though you should.
You should. But you might get to a party and they might only be serving you Rioniti on ice. And we understand that that might not be, you know, an option for you. So what do you want to kick off with?
Well, it's 6 simple practices to handle holiday stress.
Okay. Because the holidays are very stressful.
It's just the season to be jolly, but isn't that always easier said than done?
Isn't it, though?
Oh, the holidays, of course, bring us many joys, family reunions, good food, thoughtful gifts, and an incredible amount of stress.
Thoughtful gifts have slipped away.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah. Everyone gets mad. It's like, give me a list of what you want.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to think about what you want.
Yeah. C-note is always good. Yeah. Gift card. Gift card's still a hot thing. For a while, they were really big, and I feel like there was a backlash. There was a war on gift cards.
Yeah. Because it was like, they would give you gift cards to places you don't want to go.
Yes.
Like Chili's.
Applebee's.
Yeah. And then you'd forget about them, and then their value would diminish.
And then some gift cards that I've gotten from people, if you don't use them with a certain amount of time, they start to deduct a service charge for no reason.
No reason
whatsoever. Like, it didn't cost them anything. It's like, you took 30 days too long. I'm taking
$3. Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Because, yeah. Yes,
I don't know.
Exactly.
All right, so.
So, number one, here's a few things that help, a few practices that will help keep you in a healthy state of mind.
Okay.
Number one, set your intention to enjoy the holiday as much as you can.
No matter what.
So have a good attitude going
in.
Yeah.
I am going to beat the shit out of this holiday. I'm going to rock it like a hurricane. I am. Rock me like a hurricane, yeah. Kwanzaa.
Because when you make the decision to be open to a true well-being and happiness, then you prime your brain to be ready for positive experiences. Mm-hmm.
And then Aunt Mildred shows up and wipes the whole thing away.
Right, and you crumble to the floor crying.
Yes, you're like, what was my mantra? I don't know. It was Rioniti on ice. So nice. So nice.
Oh, gosh. Number two, savor any moments of well-being when you're there.
Is it savor any moments? That implies that they're going to be few and far between.
Yeah, they're saying like 15 or 30 seconds worth. If you're having like a good moment, be like, yeah,
that's great. Wow.
That's
bleak.
Walking down the hall to the bathroom, and it's open,
savor that moment.
Yeah.
Wow.
And number three, take a break, regain your focus.
Okay.
I'm
all over the place.
Yeah, if you're feeling overwhelmed by everything on your to-do list, take a few breaks. Take a break, enjoy a cup of tea or a hot bath.
I feel that.
Try some yoga.
Am I a complete asshole? I don't have a to-do list for the holidays anymore.
You don't have a list of, like, you know, if you're going somewhere, who to bring wine for?
I mean, whenever I go anywhere, I bring wine. I don't care if it's just, you know, down the block.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I have a friend who lives across the street. I go over there with a bottle of wine in my hand. That's
and
a no-brainer.
A list of gifts?
I've got two hands. One's for the Metro card.
How about your tipping game? Do you have, like, people that you tip?
Yeah, with tip the super, mm-hmm. and then the assistant super, house cleaner, I guess dog walker?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
I just give them an extra whatever I'm giving anyway. But mm-hmm. that is not really, you know, I don't have so many things going on that
you
I
have
need to
do
a whole
it, yeah.
list.
Well,
I have no family either, you know? You know, that cuts down on it.
Yeah, so they just say, well, if you're doing a lot, then do some yoga. Get some exercise. Take a break.
Okay, I'm down with that. Bikram. Yeah. Put that on my list.
Number 4 is practice gratitude. Don't take your good fortune for granted.
I'm still working on it. I'm not good at it. I'm not grateful for shit.
Consciously reflect on all the blessings in your life each day. Mm-hmm. I don't want to call them blessing. I'm sick of the hashtag blessing.
Oh, hashtag get out of my face. I don't... There's just... You know what it is? It's the people that I associate that phrase with and that word with that annoy me.
Yes,
people are like, have a blessed day. It's like, brother, get out of my face.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have time for you.
Or I see it on Facebook. So blessed. Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Because what?
Oh, we had a wonderful day. We got a new car and we got this and that. Blessed.
Blessed. Hashtag economy is what that should say. Yeah, we got a new car. There's some people I want those people who are always like, I'm blessed, to be like, will you show me the people who aren't blessed? I'd like to see those people.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
You know, because there's got to be another side to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're screwed. Hashtag screwed.
Yeah.
Hashtag fucked.
Yeah.
You know?
But I guess the idea is like you shouldn't be focused on all the negative and say, oh, look, I do have 3 bottles of wine. Instead of, I don't have 4 bottles.
Yeah, okay.
I do have 3.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, whatever you have, just say that's what you have.
Yeah.
What is that? That Sheryl Crow song is like, you know, you have to want what you have, not have, I don't know. Whatever. What is it? It's some
with the wisdom,
ridiculous.
The sage wisdom of Sheryl Crow says you should have what you want and then get it and love it.
I think that the song lyric is like, you should want what you have.
All I want to do is have some fun.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Forget it.
All right. You
ought to know. That's not even her. Okay.
Got a hand in my pocket.
I got a hand in my pocket.
The other one is holding a bottle of wine.
Yes.
That's my song.
That's my song.
All right. There's practice generosity.
I would say take the other hand out, get another bottle of wine. What, are you sleeping on the job? Get blessed.
Hashtag.
So
practice generosity.
Tipping, that's the tipping, we covered
that. Yeah. Neuroscience research shows that performing an altruistic act lights up the same pleasure centers in the brain as food and sex.
Okay.
Boo.
Really? Then why isn't everyone just getting real high out there, like doing good things for each other?
I don't think so. But it does make you feel good when you do something nice.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't feel as good as sex, or what was the other thing, or food.
Yeah.
I just can't stop doing nice things. I just can't stop. It feels so good.
You were such an asshole because you were doing such nice things.
Yes. I mean, it makes okay.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Play and have fun. Remember what it was like when you were a kid during the holidays. Let yourself experience that again. Who has time?
I don't know. Not everyone's holidays as children were that fun, people.
Yeah.
Also.
If you're happy, you increase the odds that your close friends and family will be happy too.
If you would just smile more, Katie,
yeah.
It would increase the odds that I would feel better.
That's true.
So work on that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, I thought it was me. I thought it was something I could do, but it's you.
It's me. It's my fault.
Yeah, it's your fault. I mean, you do what you can. You do what you can. So speaking of, this is something that's not going to survive the holidays, or it's not, well, it'll survive the holidays, but when the holidays are over, mm-hmm. it's going to be over. And that is Toys R Us.
Oh.
Did you hear about this? They
no.
declared bankruptcy. When we were kids, that was the place that your parents wanted to avoid taking you by.
Mm-hmm.
Was Toys R Us.
Oh, yeah, nobody wants to.
Remember they had thing. Like, there was a, you know, I don't want to grow up, I'm a Toys R Us kid. Like all the commercials, mm-hmm. they had this giraffe.
And they were driving little cars around.
Yeah. So within hours of Toys R Us bankruptcy filing last week, the maker of Max Tow Truck and Animal Babies Nursery sounded a financial alarm. So basically, Toys R Us owes millions of dollars to these other toy companies.
Get out.
That actually make the toys.
Really?
I never thought about this. So it's kind of like in the supermarket. Like, the supermarket has some of its own products, but mm-hmm. primarily they get other people to put their price in, and then they, you know, give them remittances. So, Jax Pacific, which is a company that sells toys to Toys R Us, is owed $14 million.
Whoa.
Yes.
That is big.
$14 million, but they only posted a profit of $1.2 million. So some of these are smaller toy companies. making the California-based toy supplier one of more than 100,000 creditors sideswiped by the toy chain's bankruptcy. So all these people who are giving, you know, been sending them merchandise are now afraid that they're not going to get paid. Oh, whether or not those toys got sold, because they're going into bankruptcy.
Wow, that's what happened, yeah.
So Toys R Us owes $7.5 billion
to
a group that includes virtually every major toy maker in the country, including Mattel. They owe Mattel $136 million, $59 million to Hasbro, $33 million to Spin Master. I don't know what that is.
Nope, I don't know either.
$32 million to Lego. Lego is already having financial problems.
Yeah.
Maybe they should be listening to How to Survive the Holidays. And Radio Flyer, they owe them $12 million. And Crayola, they owe $2.6 million. So
that's a lot of payola for Crayola.
these are the big companies. But think about all the little tiny mom and pop. Oh. They make like one thing, and then they sell. They give it like they're some of them. 80% of their business is Toys R Us. So if they don't get paid, they're screwed.
Yeah, all these businesses are done.
So it says that toy makers and suppliers decide what to do. A lot of them say they're going to do millions, and it's the toy industry is up in arms. Their little wooden arms are up. They don't know what to do. This year continues to present a challenging retail environment, which has now been further disrupted by the Toys R Us Chapter 11, says Stephen Berman, the executive of JAX. For the past 22 years, Toys R Us has been one of JAX's most significant business partners. So these are companies that have not diversified where they send their stuff to. It's just them. And a lot of small companies, this one small company, Linda Perry Murphy, chief executive of Product Launcher, a supplier that connects small toy makers with retailers, says, we don't want to have anything to do with them anymore. Not online. Not in the stores.
Wow.
Not in my watch. Not with my daughter. Like
it's this whole industry because everyone buys everything online.
Yes.
So you can't. It's the idea of like when you have a store like Toys R Us or a supermarket.
Yeah.
Those companies that put their food on the shelves, they pay for shelf positioning.
They pay for not only, they say
I want to be eye level. That's a premium shelf space. And they don't get that for free.
Not only that, but a lot of those companies, they say, here's our product, and then Toys R Us will say, this is what our shelf is like. This is how this product needs to look to be on our like. So people have changed their marketing and the look of their toy to conform to Toys R Us, and now what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, like I don't know. It's so it says the companies are a lot of mom and pops, the people that make fidget spinners, do-it-yourself slime kits. So these are all little companies. Children's nail polish and other novelty items. They rely on the business from Toys R Us.
But you also have to be careful, like a lot of the companies that produce in China, then what they make the toys with it's dangerous material.
So Toys R Us is one of more than 300 retailers to file for bankruptcy this year.
As
people are not shopping in the malls, they go on their laptops, smartphones, and tablets. It says the company has been in a downward spiral for years. So they knew that this was coming, and I feel kind of upset, and I feel bad for the toy companies that they might not be able to get so much money.
Everything is changing.
Yeah. So they're in a quandary now because Toys R Us isn't closing until after the holiday season. So the toy manufacturers have to decide, will they risk sending their toys to Toys R Us anyway, hoping that they'll sell and that Toys R Us will give them money? Or do they just simply not send their toys to Toys R Us and try to find another way to
sell?
It's too late now, though. I mean, it's, you know, the holiday season is starting.
How dare Toys R Us get that far in the hole?
Yeah. They say Toys R Us said that Monday they got $3.1 billion from J.P. Morgan to help pay for inventory and company investment. It's over. That party is over. So basically, here's what I have to say. Like, they're going to barely survive the holidays, but we all know what happens when stores go out of business.
What?
Clearance.
Yes, well,
liquidation.
Course.
Everything. So it's after the holiday season is over, you should probably be able to go to Toys R Us and get whatever you want and whatever toy you want. Shelves. Yeah. Everything.
Everything.
Everything will have to go.
You want your Jeffrey the Giraffe?
Yeah. Get it after the holidays. So bizarre.
It's
like I don't know how they didn't see this coming either. I agree with you. Like, it's pretty obvious. Right?
Yeah, so the people, those in power, the powers that be knew.
Yeah, they knew. And they tried to, like, string it on for as far as they could. I think it's interesting because I don't see my friend's children, they order all their stuff online. They don't really, that whole idea of going to a toy store is not really in their head. And when I've gone with my friends who are parents to shop with them. It's, you go to the toy store, and it's mostly just adults.
Yeah.
Picking up the things that their kids have seen or said that they wanted.
Yeah. Or it's like the aunts and uncles, people like me, yeah, going, what do they want? And running out to the store.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. What do they want, the Lego set? Okay, I'll go get it.
I'm so glad all the nieces and nephews basically are like...
Yeah, they're not little kids anymore.
They want cash.
Yeah.
And I'm like, here is the card with cash in it.
Yeah.
Enjoy. Here's
they're
a sweater.
They're older now.
I got you a nice sweater.
Yeah. They're it's like, much fine. Easier.
All right. Fine. Okay. This is another thing that's going away.
Okay.
Speaking of holidays.
It's not going to survive.
It's not gonna, the death of the dining table. Yes.
R.I.P.
Yes.
I just got a dining table.
Yeah, I know you did.
For my mom that seats 12. It's alive and well in Maryland, everybody. If you want to see a dining table, the Eastern Shore is a place to do it.
Yeah. We're bringing it back. That's a nice table. Jaquetta got a nice table.
Yes. This war on dining tables has got to stop, Katie. It has got to stop. I put my foot down on the dining table.
Well, you're not a millennial.
They got the ball.
There's an there was an article called No McMansions for Millennials. and it was,
why would you want a McMansion?
Well, it's millennials, you know, they are in this age group where they're kind of like screwed, right? There's not gonna be a lot of money for them. They don't have the same.
That's an understatement. They're broke. And yeah, they have to, you know, they're going to be in the hole for a long time, and they're not consuming the way that America wants them to consume.
Right. So,
to which I say, give them a job. Give them some money.
But houses that are going to be built for millennials when they're ready to buy.
When is that going to be? Because aren't they getting old now?
The house of the future skips the dining room, but don't forget space in front of the television for the Wii and space to eat meals when glued to the tube. Because dinner parties and family gatherings around the table are so last generation.
Wow.
Right. It's an architectural change that's already happened in most apartments where the sofa is much more important than the table.
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know, though, because we live in...
These are scary things to think of. What is this?
I live in an old apartment, so I don't know.
Oh, well,
I haven't seen any brand new apartments, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
To notice this change.
But the idea is, what has happened to the dinner party? Okay.
From the 50s they're talking about? Because we didn't have...
No. In the 80s. Yeah, sure.
But our generation's never had dinner parties.
I've had dinner parties.
Where everyone sits around the table?
Yeah. Yes.
When?
In the 90s.
Okay. I don't remember having I have parties. But dinner parties.
People would have formal dinner parties where everyone sat around the table in the 80s and the 90s.
And you went to these?
Yeah.
I have never, ever been to one of these before.
Yeah. In the dining room, you sit around the table.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I stopped being invited to these things.
See, this is why we don't have them anymore, people. It's people like Katie Kasper.
I'm not invited. No, it turns out, like, when people got married, when there were a lot of married couples, then they would only have couples over. Mm-hmm. And if I wasn't with anybody, then I wouldn't be invited.
Wait, so you were going to these? It was a bunch of single people.
At first, it was
in
single.
In the 90s.
At first, it was single, and then everyone started getting married.
Mm-hmm. And then they stopped having.
And then they still had them, but without me.
But without you. I have never been to one of these things before.
You've never done that?
No.
Okay.
I'm only a few years younger than you. Maybe that makes a difference?
I guess so.
It might be.
I think that when. I was out of college and we were in our first homes or apartments or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
It was the idea, let's try being adults.
Doing what you saw.
Right.
Growing up.
And so we would have a nice dinner. We would cook a nice dinner and sit around the table and talk.
Huh.
And that was a thing. But
nobody's doing
that anymore.
Most of my friends, we have cocktail parties.
Right.
Where there are a lot of hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
I've never had a sit-down. I was thinking about having a sit-down there, but like a fancy party.
All right. That's a party. Now they're moving to the fact that families don't sit down at the table.
True.
Anymore.
I didn't grow up sitting on the table.
It's not a time of open communication and conversation. So people are sitting on the couch with food or what have you.
We eat in the kitchen a lot.
Eat in the kitchen. Yeah. They're not doing
it which all. I guess is just informal, you know.
Yeah. But the Gen X generation was the last generation to really do that and
That's
have that
me.
Experience.
I'm saying I'm 43. If anybody who's out there in our listenership is around that age, I would love to hear if you've had more of a kind of experience where I have had, where it's been cocktail parties, or if you had more of like a Katie's kind of experience where there were actually dinner parties. It could be a suburban urban thing. Because when I got older, I was always in apartments, and no one had the space for anything but cocktail parties.
Houses that had a formal dining room are now using that room to be like a den? No, it's like a desk area for the kids to do their homework.
Ah, like home office type of thing.
Yeah, but it's not really set up as a whole office. It's like, yeah, it's...
workspace.
It's
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So are people not buying dining tables at all? They're extremely expensive.
Yeah. Well, they'll get the table. That's fine. But they're not using that table for having a sit-down dinner.
Huh.
They're using that table to sit out to do projects.
Yeah.
And that's it. So I guess the gist of the whole thing is that dinners are going away. Sitting around the table and having a conversation at the end of the day is going away. No entertaining, formal entertaining that way. So people do not know how to sit down at a table.
No.
And eat.
Although I do see a lot of communal tables out.
Yes.
Which is interesting. I mean, it's a different way to do it. So like there's a bunch of restaurants in the city where if you're by yourself or you're just two people, you can sit at the big, like open communal table. And I guess you're encouraged to kind of interact with people. I don't know. I'm antisocial in that way. But someone must enjoy it. And I see these tables. That's fascinating.
Yes.
I think that the dinner party, I like the idea of the dinner party, but I think it just doesn't really fit in to a lot of people's lifestyles. Like in the 50s, it was a thing where, you know, the man was working and the woman could be preparing that thing, putting that together.
Right.
It was like, that was like an art form in a way. It was like a big deal and she was going to do this and do that. People really don't have as much time, I think, to do that nowadays, to put together that Martha Stewart type of thing. But it's kind of sad. I do like dinner parties. I like the idea of someone else throwing it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, yes, yes.
And the reason why I haven't done it, I have a dining room table. We can set up our living room, dining room in such a way that it will seat like 10 people. We've done it like one time, but it was a grind. It's so much easier just to do a cocktail party or to have it catered in the city. And have everything professionally done and professionally taken away out of my face.
Right.
But, that's interesting.
Yeah, and people getting married nowadays, they don't ask for china anymore.
No, they don't. I have a couple of friends who got china when they got married, and they're like, we have never used it.
Yep.
Because when?
Because they don't have dinner parties.
Yeah, they don't have dinner parties. That's fascinating. Well, that didn't survive the holidays. So here, if you are... I have some survival tips here. 11 simple ways to avoid your family during the holidays.
Okay.
For those of you who just not having it.
All right.
Hashtag not having it. Put it there. This is kind of funny.
Tensions are building.
Tensions are rising.
Yeah.
This is from the Odyssey Online. Number one, it says to fake an illness.
Oh.
We've all done it.
Yeah.
Maybe not necessarily for a holiday, but we've all faked an illness.
Everybody
to get out
has.
Of something. It says this is the simplest, easiest way to get a family member off your case about coming over. No one wants to cause an alarm, so just do the flu. Just say you have strep throat. You know, do something light. Don't do anything that will lead you to be in the hospital, because then people might want to visit you.
Yeah.
And you might have to, like, really come up with something.
Yeah.
Like, don't make it a sitcom.
Right. I'm going to have my appendix out.
Yeah, don't do that. No. Again. You're having it out again. So it's a simple illness. Another one is that fake an injury. Again, keep it simple.
Simply twisted an ankle.
Maybe you hurt your elbow. You're on a crutch of some kind. You can't travel.
Once I called out of work, this was like when one of my first jobs, I called out because I got stung by a bee and twisted my ankle.
Oh, really? This is like beginner's lie.
Such a you could have picked stupid
one.
Lie.
I know. But not the bee one. The stung by a bee is not a reason to stay at home unless you went into anaphylactic shock.
Because I got stung, so
and
then
you
I ran and I twisted my ankle.
It became a story. You're not a good liar. Too much. Then I fell and there was a rake and it scratched me.
Yes.
And that was all screwed up. The fire department.
Case,
jaws of life.
Yes.
Everything. So this is fake an injury.
I fell in a pile of ants.
I got bitten. Then I rolled.
Down the hill.
Yeah. That rake again was there. Fucked me up, Royal. So this guy who wrote this, it says, on a personal note, my dad once lied about falling on the ice to avoid a trip to my grandparents, and then had to wear a head bandage whenever he saw them. My grandmother still tells him the scar looks bad. Again, the injury never happened. He's the worst. So the next one is, tell them you've already made plans. This is a good way to go. You plan not to see them.
Yeah.
You know, just any kind of, any obligation, a church event. That's nice. Sporting event. It says testifying before Congress. Probably not a good one.
No.
Although nowadays, who knows? Believable.
Yeah.
Move far away. This is my favorite one.
Yeah.
Move.
Just move.
Just move.
And you don't have to.
It's the
be
most
anywhere.
Effective way. It's, I don't have the money to come see you. I can't afford it. And if they offer to pay for it, be like, please don't use that money for charity. Right? Yes. I like this one. Get into a senseless argument with an extended family member.
All right.
So just pick someone you don't really care that much about, Cousin Felicia.
And tell them God doesn't exist.
Tell, yeah. And abortion is right.
Yeah.
Then it says, tension usually doesn't bode well in the family setting, and hopefully they will just not invite you to things. Or say that you don't feel that you can be there when Cousin Felicia is there.
Yeah.
Throw a temper tantrum. If you act out enough, you can get out of anything. This works when you're a kid. So just come up with some reason to have beef and just get out of there.
Right.
Get an obnoxious significant other. Or I might add, ask a friend that you know will be offensive to your family.
Yeah, right.
And say, so-and-so is staying with me. You know, can I bring them?
And then just like, let them
be like, well, blah, blah. Show up for 5 minutes. This is what I think was funny. And then sneak out early. You got to have a big family to do this one. My family's not big enough. With only 8 people, they're going to know.
Yeah, they're going to notice that you're not
there. That Greg is there and I'm not. And my husband is still there. I'm gone. Commit a crime and get arrested.
Oh,
something small. Public urination.
That's good.
Protest. Make it a protest.
Or just, or you know, drive by a cop and give them the finger.
Yeah.
And then.
And then wait.
Yeah.
White people only.
Yeah.
Says report a family member to Crime Stoppers. I don't.
What?
Yes. Do that anyway.
Do it anyway.
Like if someone is.
No matter what the holiday.
And then the last one is, and this is my favorite, just be honest with your family. I don't like you and I would rather eat glass than come to this family dinner, is what they have here. It will do the trick. Feelings will be hurt and they'll probably talk about you behind your back. And by behind your back, I mean on Facebook.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know if my family is on Facebook or not. I don't do Facebook, family with Facebook. It's nothing personal. I just don't do it.
Yeah.
Friends only.
Yeah.
On Facebook. People who understand that, like, you know, that take everything not just with a grain of salt, but with, like, a tablespoon of salt.
Exactly.
So how to get out of it. You know me. I'm a frank. I'm like, people ask me, do you want to do this? No.
Yeah.
Just say no. Okay, if you say it, like, there's a period at the end of it. They're not going to say anything to it.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to ask why.
And you have to realize people, you ask someone to do something and they say no, then just let it go.
Just let it go.
Who cares?
They can say why? Because no. That's the follow-up. Yeah. No, and then because no.
Yeah.
That's the, you know. All right, what do you have?
Okay, this is about, you know, we talk about wine and booze and how to handle the holidays by using those as tools.
Yes.
Sometimes you drink a little too much and you get what is known as a hangover.
Yeah, I had a monster hangover. Couple of weeks ago. I don't even know how I made it. It was early. I got home early. There's nothing worse. So when you get older and you get home at 8 o'clock and you're like, yeah, I'll be fine.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It doesn't matter.
Things change.
Yes.
And then you have to.
Seasons change. Yeah. People change.
Right. So the only way to avoid a hangover, of course, don't drink.
Well.
And the one proven cure is time. It takes 8 to 24 hours for symptoms to disappear. Okay. So in the meantime, try simple natural ways to avoid the pain and to tackle headaches. So some of the symptoms of a hangover are headache, nausea, regret, shame, vomiting.
Oh, the worst is sweating.
Oh.
That's when you know you've gone too far.
Dizziness.
Dead
spin.
When you're like holding onto the bed like, dear God. Like, you know, spins.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Oh, God.
Puking.
Okay. And fatigue. Fatigue is the worst.
I drank so much wine. I'm exhausted. I just wore myself out.
So the day after, ways to help yourself is drink water
But you don't want to.
You don't want to.
I'm telling you, people, when I've been hungover in the past and people have been like, put a glass of water by my bed, I feel like I'm like, if you've seen Edith Piaf's, you know, the biography, she's like in her last, she's about to die. And so one of her, one of the servants comes over and tries to give her like a carrot juice. Yeah. And she's so tired. She has so little energy left because she's always about that. But she has enough energy to lift her hand up and smack that carrot juice to the floor. That's how I feel. That's how I feel, like the Vion Bros. I just don't want water.
Yeah.
I know it's good for you, and you should crave it, but it's like the last couple of things I drank didn't make me feel good.
Yeah. Yes. Well, they say then don't, they say water's not enough. You drink electrolyte-rich fluids, too, like sports drinks, coconut water, or bouillon soup.
Nobody has that the day before because you didn't know you were going to get trashed.
I know.
I don't have Gatorade at home. What am I, at field hockey practice again?
I know, right? You have like 3 12-year-old boys.
Oh, wait, hold on. Let me hook up some bouillon real fast. Honey, will you microwave that bouillon?
Okay. Well, they suggest that before you start drinking is to grease yourself up.
But I didn't know.
Well, if you just, anytime you leave the house.
Just get ready.
It is say, take a spoonful of olive oil before the party.
Really?
Yeah, because or eat pizza or some other fatty food. Both are said to grease the intestines, so the alcohol takes longer to absorb.
And not the other way around.
Yeah.
Not eat the greasy food afterwards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Right, because it's going to lock it in.
Okay, so I have to remember, eat a slice of pizza before going out. Okay.
And then while you're drinking, consume sugar.
Huh?
Yes. Study showed
not salt, because that's what they give you at the bar.
I know. Fructose may speed alcohol metabolism, thus reducing the risk of a hangover. It's important to eat sugar while drinking, not before, since the fructose metabolizes quickly.
So I'm going to chug some extra virgin olive oil and a slice of pizza before.
Before.
Then during gummy bears.
Gummy bears, some orange juice.
Okay.
All right.
Is a screwdriver
count? I know, right? Fill up the morning
Cape
after.
Cod.
Eat breakfast in the morning.
Please. I'm trying to reduce losing that breakfast.
Yeah.
So I usually don't want to eat anything.
They say burnt toast helps because it almost acts like charcoal in the stomach.
Okay. Wow, really?
Yeah, but there's no research to back that up.
There's zero research. This is just a wives'
tale. Then they say eat ginger. Because
that's next to the bouillon.
Take ginger to reduce nausea and vomiting. Try nibbling crystallized ginger in the aftermath of a night of drinking.
Oh, I actually have crystallized ginger.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you guys, this is the best thing. If you ever get some fresh, have some fresh ginger in your fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Peel it up, dice it up, and put it in a pot and boil it.
And make a tea.
And that, just drink that water, that tea from it. That is going to help you.
Right. Okay.
And then And this is like for any time. This is just the best thing, especially in the winter.
Mm-hmm.
Take that ginger tea that I just told you about. Put in some honey and some lemon and turmeric. And you are going to be so well.
Right as rain, huh?
Yeah. It's not just for hangovers. It's so like for wellness all the time.
This is ginger, turmeric, honey, and what was the other
lemon.
Thing? And lemon.
Yeah.
Like a tea.
Yeah, make it a tea.
Wow, I didn't know
and
that.
And that will, that's if you're sick, drink that. Just to keep yourself healthy, drink that. Because it kills all kinds of bacteria, gives you energy, it makes you feel good, all of that. And it reduces inflammation.
I have a similar remedy, and I will, you know, this is a very easy recipe. It's a bag of hot fries, handicapped, and then a liter or 2 liters of Diet Sunkist orange soda.
Oh,
and hook you up.
That'll do it.
That'll hook you up the day after. I don't know about all the time for health.
Yeah,
but it works for me. It should work for you.
My favorite hangover thing is bacon and egg sandwich.
Ooh, yeah, egg and cheese on a roll for me because I don't need the bacon. Same thing.
Yeah,
it has all the things. It has the fat.
It has everything you need.
It has everything you need.
And then they say if all this doesn't work, then go back to bed.
Yeah, I try to, after this last hangover, I try to stay in bed as long as humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And I have a small dog who's about a year old. And she was very kind during the hangover. She just, usually in the morning, she sees him awake. She's like, oh, yay. She was like, nah, I got you. She just laid down on the floor near the bed and just kept an eye on me the entire time.
Wow.
Didn't make a peep. Was quiet. She slept in.
Wow. She's cool.
Pretty sure she didn't have any drinks the day before. But
she was feeling your pain.
Yeah, she was feeling my pain. She slept in and she was just like, keep it low energy.
Oh, wow.
So I was happy about that. All right, so this is how to survive, again, the holiday season, because that is our what we're on today. It says, instead, if you want alternatives, so this is alternatives for any of the holidays you may be confronted with during the holiday season. It says, live like a local. Travel sounds great, but who wants to spend the holiday surrounded by strangers? Me, I do. It says, consider using homestay.com. I didn't know about this.
What is homestay?
Homestay.com is an online marketplace that matches you with a home and a local to enjoy.
Sounds a little
similar programs, of course, but Homestay offer the hosts have customized activities for no extra charge. So some of recent destinations include, and you know, this is right up my alley, the home of a magician in Rome. I would love to go stay in a magician's house in Rome.
I would not.
That sounds like fun. I love magic. And they do activities with you. You can stay with a Buddhist monk in Thailand, like in a monastery. You can stay with a master potter in Cuba. So this is like people who have things that they want to teach.
Okay, but now you're an apprentice suddenly. And that sucks.
I'm because a magician's assistant. I mean, help, I'm trapped. I want to come home, but I can't. I'm being sawed in half every day.
Go make me some coffee.
Dark Mondays.
Go file this.
Master Pot. I know you're like helping this guy like put together his clay. Gather with other celebrants.
It's going to be like a wax on, wax off situation. Make a whole fence for me. That's the only way to learn.
It'd be whitewashing someone's fence. Yeah. It says, go to Las Vegas, which we always do. Any holiday there is good. Everyone there is just like either they're escaping the holidays, they're not dealing with it. So either. Take to the sea. This seems extreme. You don't need to buy a boat or book a cruise. There's a website called boatsetter.com.
Oh, okay.
As something akin, it's a matchmaker for boating enthusiasts and boat owners. So you can go for a sunset cruise, snorkeling, a charter, whatever. Prices start about $300. And they're saying that you could take your whole family on this kind of thing. So you can get together with friends, find someone who has a boat, a captain, and then go do something of interest.
Okay.
It's weird. These are the kind of things that I think are cool about the internet, like this kind of stuff. Because I like boating, but I can't afford a boat, and I live in a city.
Right.
But I don't know how to arrange this stuff myself. You know what I mean?
So this is a site that will hook you up.
Yeah, that will hook you up with it.
Okay.
Host a virtual gathering on Facebook.
No.
What? Hear me out. If you want to get together but don't want to make a fuss, host a Facebook party with family members that you won't see.
Oh, okay.
Brock Copper, best name ever. Mm-hmm. Brock Copper of All Web Promotion, a website design and marketing agency, said, you might try to reach inside your screen to grab food. It's a fun way to engage with loved ones in the holiday season. Just have like a Skype party.
Like a half hour.
Yeah, like a half hour. Or just leave it on in the background, just casually. Everyone put the Skype on and just do whatever you're going to do at your home. Yeah. It says, take to the skies.
What did it take to the seas? Take to the skies.
Many commercial flights will be packed, but consider chartering a jet. Oh, yeah. All the time. Uh-huh. Every day. Before you dismiss the splurge, which can cost thousands of dollars, remember, some private jets have last-minute empty legs. So I've read about this. No one likes extra income more than filthy rich people.
Yeah.
So if they have an extra seat on their private plane...
They love it to be filled.
They like it to be filled by you, and they will charge you for it. You've been on a private plane before.
Yes.
It's too small for me. I'm not ever going to go.
It's fun. It's like being in a small living room.
Yeah. Except you're really high up, and you could drop out of the sky at any minute, and you don't know how to fly that living room.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
But it's different from a regular, like a big commercial airliner in the way that you can like feel you're on this plane. But this feels like I'm just in a living room, but suddenly there's clouds.
I don't like outside that the window. I feel like it's like I'm on a bus and someone has flung it through the air in the most haphazard way. And there's a stewardess, but you can see her the whole time.
You can see her, but there's like nine of you on the plane.
Did she just have you pass the teas and the
next
person?
No, she walks over to you and gives you warm cookies.
There's room to walk?
Yeah. It's like a living room.
No, thanks.
Yes, it's fine. Yes, and they will, it's several thousand dollars if you do one of these, like, shared plane
It's just
plane
so weird. They like think that these things are such a high-level luxury. It's like, you know, it's like, we have an extra seat on the space shuttle. You want to come on?
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, and then they can invite you. They're like, why don't you sit right behind the pilot while we take off and land? And there's like a little jump seat that sits there. No. So you can see all the controls. You can see what they're doing.
I want it to be a mystery.
Yeah.
I like a big plane. I don't want to know what's going on.
Nowadays, when we can't even get near the cockpit.
Yeah.
on a plane, you know, to be invited to sit right behind the pilot.
Well, that's what you say.
Your head, your chin on his shoulder.
But the last time I flew was, I think it was JetBlue. Yeah. We sat in the front of the plane. JetBlue doesn't have any first class. It's all plebs.
Okay.
Which is fine. But the bathroom, they have one bathroom that's in the front.
Yeah.
By the, where the pilots are. Nice. And I was like, I had to go to the bathroom. I was like, is it okay for me? Like, am I going to get tackled if I try to like use this? It was so close to the front of the plane. Having had this experience of the past, 10 years of that being. So, well, yeah, I don't want to be anywhere near it.
Yeah, I saw the pilots come out to go to the bathroom.
I tell them to get the fuck back in the cockpit and quit screwing around. I don't want to see the bus driver up and around while I'm on the number, on the BX7.
Well, they get the flight attendants to put the beverage cart, like, blocking the aisle. And they stand there and they stare everybody down, all the passengers down, while the pilot goes to the bathroom.
Why? Like, that's going to stop anybody? If they really want to get in there, a beverage cart and some stewardesses? They're out of their mind. Magical thinking and security theater. So take the skies, look for travelers. And then my favorite is always go out and help other people. This is always a good, fun way to spend a holiday, is to go volunteer, soup kitchen, shelter. I've been telling people, and this is something I want to do myself, is that when you are giving items to, like, a shelter, remember that there are women and girls there who need pads, tampons, and all that kind of stuff that sometimes gets left out. Yeah. Those are really expensive items. You can always take them to a shelter.
Yep.
A lot of shelters really focus on things that are... unisex or for men.
Yes.
But don't forget pads, tampons, and other, you know, items that women and girls may need during the time.
That's really great to think about. Yes.
Some colleges do, they do like tampon and pad drives sometimes. But if you're not able to participate, you could always just go there and drop things off. And they'll be more than happy to take them at any shelter.
Such a great idea.
Whether it's a woman's shelter or not, you know, specifically, it's always welcome.
Yeah. Oh my God, what a good idea.
Yeah. What a horror. You know what I mean? Like, that's something that you cannot, when times are tight, you cannot live without pads and tampons.
Right.
And they're very expensive.
They are. I mean, gentlemen, if you don't even know that, I mean, it costs like $10 a box.
Yeah, they're very expensive.
Yeah.
Very expensive. And they shouldn't be.
Yeah, and also we're taxed on them because they're taxed as a luxury item.
Well, yeah.
Some genius was like, yeah, because women use them.
Yeah, it's a luxury item. Because I guess you could just stick, like, I don't know, a towel between your legs.
Yeah,
I don't know what they're thinking. You know, for free.
You want to be fancy with a tampon.
Yeah, you want to use a tampon? Go and get some reeds and a Q-tip and make it work.
Oh, my God.
All right, what do you have?
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Mmm, box of wine.
Well, they have 21 questions for a better holiday conversation.
Awesome. I love these. I lay it on me.
All right.
I'm going to answer these questions.
Okay. So, because they say, prepare to talk about yourself, but it isn't always about you.
What kind of questions are these?
just kind of prepping you. Like, hey, this is the mindset they have to go in when you're talking to other people. Not all about you.
Okay.
But be prepared to talk about yourself.
I like to ask a question and then bring it back to me.
I love doing that. Yes. I do it all the time.
Have you been to Hungary?
That's funny,
because I live there. No, I do it all the time. But what about me? What about me?
Okay. There are some funny ones here. And then I have a couple that are grouped specifically.
Do you ever ask other people questions and then bring it back to yourself? Because I do. Because I know I do. Okay. That's going to be fun to listen to. All right, what is this at 21?
Okay,
why is 21 it 21? What is the significance?
There's 21, but then I have some other ones that are
just
like
wondering,
outliers.
What's the significance of 21 in our culture?
Well, it starts off, this is, I got this listed, it says here. Are you enjoying your work? What does your typical work day look like?
Hold on.
When you were in college, what kind of jobs did you have?
Huh?
Is there anything you wish you had done differently in your college years?
It's scintillating, this conversation.
I know. What music do you enjoy? What's your Myers-Briggs personality type? Who threw that in there, in this list?
Some people know that. I don't know mine anymore.
I know mine.
It's all a jumble to me.
Yeah.
I think mine was like asshole. It's what I came out with. It's like A-S-S-H.
Yeah, intuitive, judgmental.
O-L-E. Intuitive, judgmental. Rude.
Right.
Presumptuous.
But the Myers-Briggs, if anybody doesn't know what it is, it says...
And you're lucky if you don't know.
It's saying that there are 16 basic personality types.
For all the billions of people.
Right. And you're one, you take a test and it's a very, structured thing. You have to have somebody who's trained to give you the test. You
it's
can't just
German.
Do it online.
Yeah.
But I am an INFJ, and apparently there's very few of us in the world.
What is the INFJ? Are they killing you?
Intuitive.
You're hunted?
Something like, I guess we just don't live.
What?
That annoying.
We just don't live. Oh. What is the I? Intuitive?
Nurturing, judgmental feeling.
That doesn't sound like a good combination.
It doesn't.
You're a lovely person, but that sounds awful.
It does.
We just don't live. You find
we can't get along with other people and get killed.
Yeah, you can't. You should back out of a room if you're the INFJ.
Right. Let's see. So there's all these questions. Then the Myers-Briggs was thrown in there, but then I came across.
What's your Myers-Briggs?
Okay, so for parents, now this is for parents to ask children.
Okay. Jeez.
Okay, who's the funniest person at the table and why?
Oh, okay, that's not bad.
All right. Pretend you just won $5 million. What's the first thing you would buy?
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
When we were kids, what was the amount? $1 million,
yeah,
right?
It was $1 million.
Yeah.
$1 million was the...
Now it's up to five?
Yeah.
Inflation.
What do you think is the hardest thing about being a parent?
Would you ask a kid that?
Yeah.
Kids are probably like, fuck.
Yeah.
We're getting grilled.
And then now for the kids to ask the parents, if you could have named yourself, what name would you have picked?
Why did you name me Herbert, bitch? Is what I'm trying to say. Would you have picked that?
What do you think is the hardest thing about being a kid? Kids, again, asking parents.
We can't see out the window. It's been blocked.
What about me is the most and least you like?
Who is asking this?
This is the kid to ask a parent.
Whose suggestion is this?
This is this article.
This family dinner is going to end in flames and, in tears.
If you could only eat one food on the table for an entire year, what would it be?
Be like, not grandma's nasty-ass pie. That's
right. And watch the mother go to say something. The father's like, she loves to eat everything.
Right. She never stops.
Okay, now for friends to ask friends.
Okay.
Which person here do you wish you knew better?
Dun, dun.
Mm-hmm. Which person at this table would make the best news anchor?
Really? These are corny-ass questions.
Yeah. If you had a uniform that you had to wear to work every day, what would it be?
Ooh, this is a good one. A uniform that if I had to wear a uniform every day, what would it be? I don't know. I guess like a Star Trek uniform.
Yeah.
Like an early Star Trek, the original series. That might be a fun uniform. Or like what, flight suit? What would you wear if you had to wear a uniform every day?
Which uniform? Something
like
with
a Pan
power.
Am stewardess.
I know, right?
Something with power? Patton? You would dress like Patton?
No, I'd wear something that was, it would be all black.
Okay.
And have continent elastane pants for stretch and comfort.
What? Is performance wear?
I want shoulder epaulets.
Okay. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it a little bit more, can I dress like Darth Vader every day?
You could do it.
Is that I think that says power.
Okay.
Like, maybe, it's all black. There's a cape.
I want a cape.
There's a helmet.
Yes. I want a
you
cape.
Know? I don't have to worry about hair or makeup.
I just want a cape and like a cat suit.
A cape and a cat suit. No. Again, that might be Darth Vader. It's kind of a modified cat suit.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to you.
All right.
I don't know. People, what would you wear? Let us know. You can always email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
That's right.
With what uniform. And don't say stormtrooper.
Yeah.
With what uniform you would wear.
For kids to ask grandparents and get ready to get
smacked.
Why are
you so damn old?
How did you celebrate Thanksgiving when you were my age?
Ooh, wow.
What was your favorite thing about where you grew up?
Okay.
What about mom or dad drove you crazy when he or she was a kid?
Mom and dad. That's what drove their existence.
If you could live any decade of your life again, which would it be?
Because I'm sure you could have some grandmother who's like, you know, I never really wanted to have kids.
Yeah. Like that. Well, I love this one. What for partners to ask each other? This is when you're playing with fire.
Yeah. All of these are pretty pretty hot topics.
Yeah, this one is, what did you really think of me on your first date? Mm-mm.
Wow.
What phrase would you like me to never utter again? If I were a pair of shoes, what kind would I be?
Who's that? If I were a pair of shoes,
what kind would I be?
Okay. I think I would have a hard time separating that from all the shoes that I've seen the person wear. Do you know what I mean? Because I know what my husband's shoes look like. Yeah. I know what kind of shoes he wears, and I know what kind of shoes he does not wear.
Right.
So I think I would just pick
the
pair
of shoes.
Yeah, be picking the shoes.
What kind of pair of shoes would be like to his personality? Describes his personality.
I have no idea, because I feel like a shoe is for the, because you know me, I'm like a shoe freak. Uh-huh. A shoe is for the moment. Like, yeah. Who are you today?
Yeah, right.
Is your shoe, you know, are you a kilty loafer? I hope not, ever. I realized that because I like almost all kinds of shoes. I saw a man with kilty loafers on the other day, and I was like, you know what? I've never wanted so badly to just knock a man to the floor, rip his loafers off, and fling them onto the tracks. Yes, I was offended. I felt very strongly about it. I don't know what it was. And he saw me look at his feet. He felt like, what gives?
He was like, oh, she likes these.
No,
these are a keeper. I'm getting another pair.
I'm like, dude, I'm about to help you out.
What is the best holiday we ever spent with each other? That's another one.
Okay.
For partners?
Mm-mm. I don't know. These are playing with fire.
Yeah, so
I don't know how
crazy
I feel
stuff.
About these.
Don't ask these questions.
Yeah, do not ask these questions.
Or do, and write to us.
Or do, and see how, you know, let us know how it goes.
Yeah.
So we hope everybody out there survives the holidays.
Yes, good luck.
Good luck.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Here's the rumors where cuffing season was. The best time to be single.
Cuffing season?
Yeah.
I still don't like the way that sounds. Maybe it's just the word itself.
And smelly farts. What to do about them? I mean, you've got to dress farts.
That's smelly farts. What are they? What do you do? How to deal with it tonight? Okay, you know it. We get down to the bottom of wind. A foul wind blows. A foul wind blows across the dining room table. This evening, hey, you know it.
Oh, with all the parties,
but like, how to deal with it? You just run and blame it on someone else. You go, oh my god, and then you just move away from it quickly, leaving whoever's there to deal with it. No, are there other techniques?
Sure,
that's mine.
We'll learn.
Mine is to run, or to, you know, stomp in place to mask the sound, and then poof, I'm out. Like, I don't know. This is going to be a very classy podcast.